And now we're ready to talk about the touch ministry. The first aspect of the touch ministry that we want to look at is the purpose of the touch ministry. What is the purpose of the touch ministry? To put adult leaders of young people, in other words, the leadership family, in touch with high school students in order for them to share Jesus Christ through personal relationships and personal evangelism. It is absolutely essential that we go where kids are. We've coined a phrase for that. We call it constructively hanging around. A lot of people see that as a real waste of time. They can't figure out why you're not on your job, why you're not at the church, why you're not clocking in the hours. But you know, the real ministry doesn't take place inside of the walls of a church. The real ministry doesn't take place hanging around where young people are not. It has to happen where young people are. And if we're really going to touch the lives of kids to make a difference, then we've got to be where kids are, constructively hanging around with them. Now let's talk about the people to reach in the touch ministry. The people to reach is the high school campus and community. This is the greatest mission field in the world today, in my opinion. There are two primary reasons for that. One is that there are more people on the high school campus who do not know Jesus Christ than any other single age group or location. In addition to that, the social atmosphere is such that everyone knows everyone else. And when something exciting about Jesus Christ happens, when Jesus Christ becomes an issue on that campus, then because of the social atmosphere and the social setting and the close structure of the school, word spreads like wildfire to those who are around the school about what's going on. Secondly, young people are more open to the gospel at that time in their lives than ever before. In a survey that's been done, it's been shown that young people are more open at the ages of 8 to 19. When they move into those college years, they become half as open. As they move into young adulthood, they're half as open again. And as they move into adulthood, they're half as open again. So obviously, the time to reach them is the time when they are in those high school and junior high years. Jesus said this, "The fields are white unto harvest," and surely he must have had the high school campus in mind when he said those words. And when he said that, he also said that in order to reap the harvest, we're going to have skilled laborers who have the proper tools and who are actually out in the harvest bringing it in. And that's a good part of what the touch ministry is about, because it is taking people who have learned through the leadership family to be skilled laborers, who have the proper tools for ministry, to move out there where young people are and build relationships to them so that the harvest can be reaped. The truth is, most of the young people in your community do not know Jesus Christ. And God has given you an awesome responsibility to share Him with them. We need to do this in the most effective, efficient, positive way possible. That's the touch ministry. And so as we begin to move into this whole concept of the touch ministry, let's begin to look at some principles of Scripture that will give us the motivation for being involved in this kind of ministry. The first Scripture that I want us to look at is Matthew 4:19. It says, Jesus said to His disciples, "Follow Me and I will make you fishers of men." Now those of you who are listening who are fishermen know that a good fisherman does not sit in the boat and wait for the fish to jump into the boat. Rather, a good fisherman gets his bait, gets it on the hook, gets it down into the water, and aggressively goes after those fish. So one aspect of the touch ministry is that if we're going to win young people to Christ, it is that we're going to have to aggressively go after them in order to do so. Another principle is John 1:14. John 1:14 says this, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth, and we beheld His glory, glory as the only begotten of the Father." Jesus came in the flesh. He was the incarnation. He was the God-man, God who came in the form of a human being. Colossians 1:15 says that He was the visible expression of the invisible God. In other words, He identified with us. If we're going to reach high school students today and junior high students, it's going to be absolutely essential that we identify with them, with who they are, with the activities they're involved in, with their needs, their problems, their desires, their goals. And we will need to flesh out the gospel to them just like Jesus fleshed it out to us 2,000 years ago. Another principle of the touch ministry is Luke 15:1-2. That passage says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" That's interesting. Jesus ate with sinners. In other words, He was willing to get involved with people who weren't like Himself. He was willing to risk involvement with people who might harm His reputation. He was willing to go to people who, even though He hated their sin, loved them because they were unique creations of God. For that reason, He was willing to be involved in their lives. He ate with them. And one of the biggest problems that we face today in the church is that people who belong to the church have a hard time figuring out who the non-Christians are, because we have removed ourselves from them because of church activity or whatever. We know very few non-Christians. And as a result of that, it's impossible for us to be involved in non-Christian unbelievers' lives when in reality we don't even know them. Jesus says, get involved in the lives of some non-Christian people. And I would make a suggestion to you at this point that you just write out there on a sheet of paper the names of 5 non-Christian young people that you know. 5 that need to know Jesus Christ in your community. And ask God to give you an involvement in their lives. Then turn to Luke 5:11-16. It says this, "And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed Him. And while He was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and besought Him, 'Lord, if You will, You can make me clean.' And He stretched out His hand and He touched him, saying, 'I will be clean.'" Jesus not only risked His reputation, but He picked out the needs of one man from the crowd. He saw people not as groups, but as individuals. And He was willing to be sensitive enough to reach out and touch that man. And you know, if I've got Jesus pictured correctly, I believe that the way I see Him there is not just taking a finger and reaching out and touching that guy on the sleeve and saying, "I will, you be clean." But I imagine Jesus taking that man and just pulling him close to Him and putting his arms around him, saying, "Brother, I will. You be clean." Jesus was sensitive to the needs of the people around him. And in the same way, if we're going to be involved with students, we need to be sensitive to their needs. Another important principle of the touch ministry is 2 Corinthians 5:20. Paul says there, "We are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We beseech you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." The high school campus today is a mission field with a language and a culture all its own. And it's very easy as an adult to feel like I don't belong here. It's very easy to feel like, boy, I just don't have a place here. I've outgrown all this. I feel uncomfortable. But you know, you are very, very important to those kids. They desperately need you. And not only that, if God has called you to work with young people, you are His representative to them. And He has sent you to that campus for the very express purpose of being His representative. Very possibly, you're the only person that many of these kids will ever know who's a Christian. And you'll be the only one who'll ever have the opportunity to share Jesus with them. You are His ambassador, His representative on that campus. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, we find another principle of the touch ministry. It says there, "So being affectionately desirous of you, we shared with you not only our own lives, but not only the gospel of God, but also our very own lives, because you had become very dear to us." You know, Paul cared about people. He didn't just come along with his gospel tracts and spread them all over the community and then leave. But he invested his life. He invested his time in people to build relationships with them, to let them know that he cared about them. And this is another aspect of the touch ministry: building relationships. It's a matter of evangelism friendship, sharing Christ with young people, and then continuing to develop a friendship with them that gives other opportunities to share the gospel. They know where you stand, you know where they stand. And you're able to have a continuing conversation about the issue and the person of Jesus. That will be able to happen when you have a relationship to them. And then a final principle is 1 Corinthians 9:22. Paul says, "To the weak I became weak that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." This is extremely important to understand. Paul was all inclusive here. He excluded no one. He didn't exclude people because of their dress. He didn't exclude people because of the length of their hair. He didn't exclude anyone because of the color of their skin, or the accent with which they talked. But he was willing to share Christ with anyone who had an open heart and an open ear. And if we're going to be effective in the touch ministry, it will be absolutely essential that your church have an attitude that says, "We'll accept anyone who wants to be a part of the body of Christ. And we'll accept them here. Black, white, dirty, clean, freaky, weird, whatever." The only way you can cut the gospel of Jesus Christ is to cut it out for everyone, not just for a select few. So the touch ministry has to be all-inclusive. now that we've looked at some of these principles, we can begin to see some of the various aspects of the touch ministry and some of the ways we need to approach this thing. What is the plan of the touch ministry? If we're going to incorporate these principles into a focusing into a high school or a junior high or college campus, what is the plan to do that? Well, again, we go back to the leadership family. The whole concept is to penetrate the total community, not one person or two people working to develop a ministry with some young people, but a whole team of people penetrating the total community. It used to be that if you reached the athletes and you reached the cheerleaders and the student government leaders, then you could reach the whole school. That's not true anymore. The high school campus is fragmented in a lot of ways these days with your freaky kids, your do-nothing kids, your dope kids, your athletes, the bus riders, the lonely kid who walks home after school all by himself, and so on and so forth. You've got all kinds of different students involved in a lot of different things. That means that there has to be more leaders to reach those various groups of people on the campus. And I know at Avondale, the school where I work, I know that with the limited time I have as a person who is not in a full-time church staff position, but a volunteer in my community to work with young people, I find that I have to focus in on one particular group, the group that I've chosen to focus in on and that the Lord's given me the opportunity to minister to is the football team. And I just began to work with them, hang around there some. Eventually, the opportunity came open to meet some people who were involved with the Boosters Club and the coaches and so forth. And eventually, the opportunity came to be the chaplain of the team. And as that opportunity has come around, then there have been other opportunities to speak at graduation, where I had an opportunity to talk to over 3,000 people about the needs of high school students today and how Jesus is really the answer to those needs. But all because I focused in on one group of people. At the same time I was doing that, there's a friend of mine in Young Life who's focusing in on some other kids. There's another friend who's focusing in on some others, some coaches who are focusing in on others, some youth ministers around in the community who are working with others, so that there is a whole team of people working together to meet the needs of those kids in our school. In addition to that, there are a number of adult lay people who are working in Bible studies and small groups with different people around in our community, young people, to help them grow in their relationship to Christ. So it's a team effort. That's the plan of the touch ministry. Now, who are the people who are participating in the touch ministry? Well, it goes back again to the leadership family. It's odd how we keep coming back to that, isn't it? Because that is the most significant aspect of the ministry, to repeat again. Who are these adult leaders with young people who are involved in the touch ministry? Housewives, businessmen, single people, elderly, Sunday school teachers, people looking for involvement, college students. I recall that when I was in high school, that the person with whom I had the closest personal relationship was my 80-year-old grandmother. We had some of the best talks. I felt like she related to me and cared about me and was interested in my needs as much as anybody during those years. It's not a matter of age. It's really a matter of whether you care about these kids or not. And if you care for them, then God can use you to minister to them. Those are the kind of people that we're looking for in the touch ministry. What kind of desires should these people have? Well, adult leaders with young people must have the desire to go where young people are, being willing to move from your environment to their environment. Have you ever thought about how scared you would be if you walked onto the high school campus all by yourself, not knowing anyone, and were expected to work with those students there? That's pretty frightening when you think about putting yourself in that position. Well, when you turn that around, you can begin to imagine how frightened young people are who have never darkened the door of a church, how frightened they are to come into your church. Because they don't know what's going on there. And since we're the ones with the gospel, we're the ones who are responsible to take the good news to them and not expect them to come to our church. Maybe that'll give you a new perspective on your own desire to go where young people are. They're as scared to come on your turf as you are to go on theirs. But we're the ones who need to go. And then another desire that you need to have is the desire to love young people. To have a real concern for individuals. To really open yourself up to the young people in your community. And love not just a group of kids, but particular individuals. And then there's a desire, the need for a desire to understand young people. What influences them? What are their interests? What are their needs? What are the music groups they're listening to? What are the TV programs they're watching? A desire to understand young people. And a desire to win the friendship of young people. Spending time really is the key. That's the most precious commodity I have. If I'm willing to take my time, it shows that I care. And taking your time with young people will prove to them that you really are interested in them. When do these friendships begin? They begin at practice, during lunch, over at McDonald's. Maybe you've already established a number of relationships through your church, and those just need to be enhanced by moving out of the church environment into the environment where kids really live. And then another aspect of this is that young people, adult leaders with young people, need to have a desire to share Christ with young people. There are a couple of dangers in that. One is that you won't do it at all. The other one is that you'll overdo it. There needs to be that balance in between where you are sensitively moving out to communicate Christ as the Holy Spirit leads. Sensitively, openly, boldly, lovingly, but doing it. I'm reminded of a girl named Robin down in West Palm Beach. She's an artist, a nurse, a single gal who lives with her sister. And just as I watched her during a week's camp and in some other situations where was working in the youth ministry there, I saw what it really means for an adult leader to have the desire to work with young people. She was willing to take her vacation time, her time off, her spare time, and invest it in the lives of some kids that weren't really the same kind of kids she was when she was growing up. She's sharp. They weren't so sharp. She has a lot of talent. Some of them didn't have much talent. But she was willing to take her time because she really loves kids and loved those kids. I watched her eat with them, play with them, talk to them, spend her time with them, and share Christ with them in a very meaningful and sensitive way. when that happens. God's Spirit can move and work. And we're able to reap that harvest that we were talking about a few minutes ago. As we continue to look at the touch ministry, let's talk about the preparation for the touch ministry. In preparing for the touch ministry, first of all, we need to pray that God will open the way for a ministry in the schools. We have seen time and time and time again how the Lord has honored our prayers when people said, there's no way you'll get into that school. The principal is closed. The school board is closed. Nobody wants you in there. You can't get in. We've seen how time and again God has opened the door and allowed us to walk right through it into that school. So pray. Pray that God will open the door for you to be there. And then the second step in preparation for the touch ministry is to train others to get in the school with you. That means that your leadership family should have already begun before you begin to move into the touch ministry. Third, you need to know the school. You say, how can I do that? Several ways. You can go by the school and pick up a yearbook, get a subscription to the newspaper, interview some students on the campus. As you begin to do some of these things, you'll begin to find that you'll know what that school is like. Its size, its activities, its teachers, its coaches, students. I know when I first picked up the annual of the high school where I work, began to thumb through it, it became very obvious that if I was going to make an impact on that campus, that one of the ways to go was through the football team. Because half the annual was full of football pictures. So God really led me to focus in there. And by knowing the school, I knew what my ministry was to be. It's important for you to know the school. And then a fourth step is to meet the principal. Now this is of absolute importance. There's no way to get around this one. What needs to happen is that you need to call the principal and make an appointment with him if you are the youth leader. And you say, what do I say when I go to see him? Well, more important than what you say is your attitude. And you need to go with a servant attitude. And when you go in to speak to him, just very simply say, look, I came by to see you because I care about the same kids you care about. And I want to help them the same way you want to help them. And I just came by to tell you that I'm totally available to do anything that you'd like for me to do in this school. I want to help out in any way I can. And I'm really committed to working with these kids. And if you'll approach the principal with that kind of attitude and continue to show that kind of attitude, then the door will be open. The thing not to do is to go and ask for school time, ask for an assembly, ask for a room to have Bible study or morning devotions or whatever. But to go saying, look, I want to help any way I can. Let me be involved. And I found when I did this at the school where I'm working, that the door swung open. We've seen this happen time and time again in various places around the country. He may ask you some questions. Be honest. Tell him what you're doing. Who are you with? I'm with such and such church. What are you going to do? Pass out tracts down the hall? No. Put up posters? No. Just going to love these kids. And then take the opportunity to share Christ with them when that presents itself. You'll need to go see the principal. Make sure you give that top priority. Had gone to see him like you're supposed to begin with. Make sure you do that. The next step in preparation for the Touch Ministry is to pray for the kids that you want to meet. You're going through an annual school newspaper, heard somebody's name, whatever. And you begin to pray for those kids. It's to make an appointment with the student government leader, other people around the school who hold key leadership positions. Just tell them what you're doing, what your ideas are, what you'd like to see happen, and ask them for their help and support. I think you'll find a real openness on the most part about things like that. And then the seventh step is to inform the law enforcement officers. We had a fellow who was a trainee with us at one point, about 6'4", weighed about 220 pounds. Came into town his first day. Had not seen the youth minister that he was working with, but went straight over to the school. He had a Fu Manchu mustache and beard. Walked into the school, walked around, started out back out to his car. The principal came out, along with some law enforcement officers, and they were going to arrest him because they had been looking for somebody who looked like him, who had been distributing drugs around the school. He could have been in real trouble, all because he didn't follow the step of informing the law enforcement officers of what he was doing. Make sure they know what's going on. These steps in preparation for the Touch Ministry may seem like we're never going to get into the thing, really, but they're all extremely important in laying the foundation for getting to the place where you can really minister to kids effectively. If the youth leader will take these steps in this kind of preparation, then those laymen who will follow him into the schools will have a much easier time in getting involved with students and feeling comfortable in that situation. Make sure that you're prepared before you go into the Touch Ministry. The next step we want to look at is the process of the Touch Ministry. What happens when you actually go? Well, you can have some unique experiences with this. The other day I'd gone over to the football field. It's very hot, about 95 degrees. Several of the guys were sitting out under on a bank under a shade tree. I was sitting way up on the bank with the guy who kicks for the team. Several of the black guys were sitting down closer to the bottom of the bank, and all of a sudden one of them let out this long string of cuss words. And everybody started to giggle and looked around at me. And Willie, one of the guys who was standing up looking at me to begin with, while this other guy had his back to me, he says, "Hey, Reverend, what about that?" He says, "Where do you think he's going to go?" And he pointed his thumbs up, and then he pointed his thumbs down. "You think he's going to go up? You think he's going to go down?" And everybody had a good chuckle out of that. Well, we kidded around about that for a few minutes and then walked on over to the practice field. And while we were walking, I was walking with Willie. And Willie said, "You know," he said, "I'd really like to know some more about this Christianity business. Maybe we could talk about that sometime." I said, "Willie, man, I'd really love to. Let's get together." And I'm looking forward to the opportunity to sitting down with Willie and sharing with him what the Lord can do. That would never have come if I hadn't been sitting out there on that bank, kidding around, taking a little ribbing from these guys about being the Reverend. So you run into all kinds of different situations. There's some real clues in being able to handle those. The first one is this: consistency is the key. Constructively hanging around is not a waste of time. There will be people who will put pressure on you to make you think that it is. But you can count on the fact that even though other people on the church staff may not understand, sometimes parents don't understand, people who think you ought to be in your office all day don't understand, It's never a waste of time. In fact, you need to go to the school at least 2 hours a week minimum as a youth worker. And if you're a youth minister, you probably need to be over there a couple of hours every day. Because the more time you spend on that campus, the more relationships you'll build. Consistency is the key. Another step to take here, another clue, is to have a reason for being at the school. Never go without a reason. You're going over to pick up a yearbook. You're going over to pick up a subscription to the newspaper. You're going to see coach so-and-so, teacher so-and-so. You're going to football practice. You're going to majorette practice, band practice, whatever. But you've always got a reason for going. Have a reason for being at the school. A third clue is to attend at least one school event each week. A football game, a pep rally, an assembly, a play, whatever, is the opportunity for that week in your school. Look for those opportunities and take advantage of them. A fourth clue is to talk about things that people are interested in. Be friendly. A lot of people have asked me the question, well, you know, man, I don't know how to talk to these kids. I mean, you know, what do you say to them? You get over there on the high school campus, I mean, I wouldn't even know what to say. Well, if you can't think of anything to say, you just start asking questions like who, what, where, when, and how. And you'll be able to carry on a conversation even with a kid who all he can do is go and grunt and say yes for at least 15 minutes. If you'll be friendly, I guarantee you that kids will be friendly back to you. If you'll be open to them, I guarantee you they'll be open to you. Ask some questions. Show that you're interested in them. Don't be so worried about how scared you are. Be more interested in how they're feeling and sensitive to their needs. And then the fifth clue is keep going. You'll get tired. The lunches get old. Practice looks the same every day. It's hot. It's too cold. All kinds of reasons for not going. But suck it up and go. And it'll have its rewards. And then sixth, the sixth clue is keep meeting new kids. If you're putting yourself in a position where you're just seeing a few church kids over at the school, then you've pretty much isolated yourself to just those kids. But if you will put yourself in a position where you are meeting pagan kids all the time, meeting new kids all the time, then you will have an opportunity to develop more and more relationships. Don't be satisfied with just the relationships you have now. Open the door for others. And you'll find that there'll be a whole network of kids that you're relating to that don't have anything to do with your church. Probably would never darken the door of your church, but somewhere along the line, they'll remember that you represent God. And when there's a crisis in their life, they'll come to the place of saying, hey, I remember so-and-so. He was a minister. I need some help. I'll get in touch with him. How many times we've had that happen when kids who never even been to any of the churches we were working with called in the middle of the night. They OD'd on drugs. They were in trouble with their parents. Somehow the girl got pregnant. Somebody died. And they call and say, hey, look, I really need some help. It's at that point that the touch ministry becomes a vital crisis ministry in your community with kids, people that you've never even seen in your church. Now, if you're going to do this, what are some of the possible settings? Where are some of the places that you can go? You say, You know, I've only got a certain amount of time. I'm a businessman, and I've only got between 5 and 6 in the afternoon, or between 6 and 7. I can only meet with kids between 2 and 3, or whatever your time schedule is. I promise you that if you've got an hour free every day, or even a half hour, you can find a place where kids are, because they're all around. And if you're willing to be involved in this touch ministry, there will be a way for you to meet kids in your free time. What are some of those possible settings? You might just want to flip off the machine now and think about some of the places you can go to meet young people. And now that you've flipped it back on, let me give you some ideas. You can go to the school for lunch, football practice, basketball practice, track practice, baseball practice, majorette practice, cheerleader practice, band practice. You can go to the pep rally, the school play, this week's assembly. You can go over and sit on the school lawn while kids are catching the bus. You can go before school when they're just arriving. You can go sit on the steps. You can go stand in the hall. You can go down to McDonald's, over to the pool, over to the shopping center, cruising around town, into the drive-in, down to the pool hall, and on and on and on we could go to places where kids are. And if you really want to relate to kids, you can find a place in your community to do it. There's a place for you. Now, let me just give a few practical suggestions for the touch ministry that will help you to do this more effectively. The first one is postpone direct personal evangelism for appointments. See, it's almost impossible due to the principal situation, the school situation, and the noise in the halls to share Christ during school. The gospel of Jesus Christ is too important to kind of flippantly throw out while locker doors are slamming and kids are yelling and people are beating each other on the arm. It's too important to share in depth with a person about Jesus Christ to try to do it when somebody's throwing corn dogs in the lunchroom and trying to hide mystery meat under the table and stuff like that. So postpone direct personal evangelism for appointments. Make those appointments. Meet with that person during lunch or after school or at night. Go out to McDonald's or another place in town where you can kind of be quiet and alone and spend some time just talking one-to-one about Jesus Christ. You'll find you'll get a much, much better response than if you try to do it in the hall at school. Another practical suggestion is don't try to get school time or facilities. There will be a time when you get over the hump, so to speak, and the school will be willing to probably give you anything you want. But until you get over that hump, don't dare ask for time, facilities, room, even to put up posters, until you have the confidence of that principal and some other people in the school. A third suggestion is to look for ways to serve kids. Kids need all kinds of help. And if you'll just be open to the opportunity, you'll have plenty of chance to serve them. I remember last year, one of the boys on our football team left his shoes at home just before the game. And he told the coach about it, and the coach asked me if I'd take him home. I said, sure. I'd never even met the kid before, so I had an opportunity to take him home and talk to him and find out about his family while we went. One way to serve kids. There are all kinds of ways, and you'll find them as you open yourself up to being a servant to them. Another practical suggestion is to play no favorites. You'll have certain people that you know better than others, but be open to all the kids, especially be open to the pagan kids, as open to them as you are to your own church kids. That will be very helpful to you in developing new relationships. Another suggestion is to practice learning names. If you'll remember a kid's name, he'll really look up to you and want to get to know you better, because he knows that you know that you think that he's important. Vary the times that you go to school. If you go in the morning one day, go in the afternoon the next day. If you go to ball practice one day, go at lunch the next day. In the very best way that you can, vary the times. If you can't vary the times, vary the days. If you can't vary the days, vary the activities that you do when you go there, so that you're finding different ways to meet kids' needs. Spend your time wisely. In other words, if you need to talk to a specific person, make a point to see that person. If you need to just generally be seen and be around, then float around to different places where you can be seen. If one particular opportunity comes up, take advantage of it right there to talk to someone. But spend your time wisely. Be yourself. A lot of you think, well, you know, I don't have long hair. I don't wear jeans, sneakers. I don't know what these kids are talking about, thinking about. That's true. And they don't care. Just be yourself. If you're Larry Levi's, be Larry Levi's. If you're Danny Doubleknits, be Danny Doubleknits. It'll be fine with them, as long as you care, and as long as you're yourself and not a phony. Another suggestion is to have a sense of humor, but don't cut. Kids will cut themselves, and they'll cut each other. But avoid developing a habit of using cutting humor with kids. And then 10th, be available. Be available to the Spirit of God to let Him use you with kids, and be available to them so that they'll know that you're around and that they can get to know you. I think you'll find if you begin to put these suggestions into practice that you'll have tremendous success at penetrating your community and moving outside the walls of your church. You know, they're not exactly beating the doors down now, are they? That's right, and they never will. So at one point along the line, we're going to have to move outside the doors of the church and get out there where they are. A friend in Houston did that. He began to go to the football games. And one night he said to his wife, you know, I need to be down there on that field. And so he walked down the steps, jumped over the sideline, and just started walking up and down the field with the players and coaches. When halftime came, the buzzer rang, he went into the dressing room with them. Came back out the next week after the game. They asked him to be the chaplain. He became chaplain of the team, has been working with those kids and the school and those coaches ever since. The Lord really gave an opportunity there, and He'll open opportunities for you as you pray, as you let the Spirit of God lead. I hope that God will touch you as you begin to touch the lives of young people who so desperately need to know Jesus Christ.